Welcome to Salon Talks. I am Mary Elizabeth Williams. It's a girls gone wild story, but the girls are all approaching their half century mark. It's a new Netflix comedy that takes Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, oh my God, Rachel Dratch, Emily Spivey, Anna Gasteyer, and our guest, Paula Pell, on a memorable weekend through, it's called Wine Country. You know, Paula Pell, if you don't know her, you've at least seen her work. She's a writer, producer, and actor. You know her work from SNL. 18 years on SNL?
Yeah,
18 years.
About 18,
on 18. 30 Rock, the movie Sisters, which I love. And you know her as an actor from shows like Love, AP Bio, SMILF, and I'm going to ask you so much about documentary now.
Please.
Patton Oswalt calls her the funniest person on TV in terms of acting and writing. That is no small compliment to be the funniest person on TV in the estimation of Patton Oswalt. Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
All right,
I don't know if I can live up to this.
Now, be funny. Do people say that to you? Do people
go,
you're a comedy writer?
No, my friend would bring me to other friends that I didn't know and go, be funny. Do your thing, trick pony. Do your shtick.
It's not like juggling. It's not like a thing you can just kind of, give me three balls and I'll do it, right?
I have a real memory of being in high school and doing some, and I have no idea what I did, but I did some imitation and it was of a butt. and my friend just dragged me to people I didn't know and went, do your butt. And I'm like.
Now, was it an auditory or
was it a visual? With my mouth. I don't want to dig any deeper. You don't either, for sure.
No, you know what? I never want to dig deeply when it comes to butts.
No.
Really.
Stay out of there.
To the extent that
it's good for, at a distance, just in theory, but stay out.
Stay out of the, you know what? I'm getting a lot of life. We're going to cut this down and it'll be like life advice from Paula Pell.
What if that was my self-motivation before I ever go on stage? Do your butt. Just go out there and you do your butt.
Give that butt.
You do your butt.
You, because no one else in the world,
nobody
Paula,
can do your butt.
Can do that butt like you. Paula, I want to ask you about this amazing film that is just so sweet. It's hilarious. It has so much heart. And you know, I don't even want to spoil, but there's an homage to a television legend in it that just makes my life complete. You are all of the women involved in this, your director is Amy Poehler, you've all worked with each other for years and years and years, and this really came out of your relationship with each other.
Yep.
Can you talk a little, it takes place over a weekend, it's a 50th birthday, Rachel Dratch's character, all these women from disparate lives and views, you know the setup, we've seen it before, and they're going to come together. And they're just gonna drink a lot and be silly.
Say things they might, maybe shouldn't.
Say start sentences with "I just want to say."
Yeah. Can I just say something? It's like, nope, shut that shit down. That's gonna go somewhere
nothing
bad.
Nothing good ever follows.
Well, this actually is based on real trips we took. We took two trips for two of our little tribes. 50th birthdays. I'm owed a retroactive because I'm 56. So I'm owed a retroactive one, so we're kind of planning that now. So we're going to go on another one. But whenever anyone turns 50, we all planned this, and we did it for Rachel Dratch's in Wine Country, and we did it for Anna Gasteyer's in Palm Springs. And so many things happened during those weekends that Amy Poehler and Emily Spivey, who Emily wrote the movie with Liz Kukowski. Another
who's also
writer
in the movie.
From SNL, and she's also really funny as one of the wine tour people. And those two, spoke to Amy about it, and Amy was like, oh, we need to make a movie out of this, because it just felt so real and so, it was just everything about us being where we were at right now in our lives, and it was hilarious. And there are many true things in the movie that actually happened, including me buying everyone high-end vibrators.
I want to ask you about that.
Yes,
that's actually on my list of questions that I prepared today. You spent almost $1,000.
I did.
Although it's not hard to spend.
No, not with new technologies.
Right. There's a lot of, you can get them Wi-Fi.
Oh my God. I went to a place here a couple years ago, just walking by. There's a place called the Museum of Sex somewhere, in Midtown.
Very close. It's actually very close.
And we walked by and we're like, oh, let's check that out. In the front part of it, they sell all these really, it's like the Apple store for your genitals.
You go up to the Genius Bar.
Yeah.
And say my genitals aren't working. Do I turn them on and off?
Can you set this to factory settings, please? Because I've gotten it way too intricately set. It was set for someone else, and I want to get factory settings. No, we went in and...
Because I got a refurbished one.
Do not buy a refurbished one, ever. Just don't. Just spend the money or don't do it. Sit on a washer during the spin cycle. Anyway, hi, Mom. But they showed us all all the people working there were young and like wore little outfits with Museum of Sex, and they were just so in their bodies about sex, which is completely opposite of how I grew up. And this girl was just like, yeah, what are you looking for? What can I show you? Let me tell you what's new. And she showed us a vibrator that had magnetic lengthening technology, and it would do this instead of like just vibrate. It actually lengthened like this. It was the most bizarre thing on earth. But yes, I bought.
What is the advantage of that?
I don't know. I did. I bought it. It was ridiculously expensive, and then lost it somewhere very quick. So somebody stole it that was installing my cable at my house.
I was gonna say, did you lose it in your home, or did you like leave it in a restaurant?
Yeah. No. I bought all those toys, and I knew that I was gonna give them to everyone as a gift, and I got Rachel the nicest one, the most elaborate one.
Because she was the birthday girl.
She was the birthday girl, and I put them all in my carry-on, which I can't believe I was able to. Check that or even go through this.
You're on a list
thing.
Now, though.
I know. I'm definitely on a list because
Homeland Security.
You can only have two bags and four dildos in most major airlines. And I brought.
They got the signs about it.
You can. The dildo has to fit in the thing that's only this big. Anyway, oh boy, I went blue so quick on this interview, but I brought. Batteries and everything, and I remember Amy making the joke. It was like just after dinner, like 7 o'clock. She's like, "Okay, good night." and it was just Dilda Claus just came out of that of me making a beard with paper towel in the kitchen and taping it to my face and sneaking around and somebody turning on Christmas music. It wasn't Christmas at all, and I came out as Dilda Claus and gave everyone. And so they put, you know, Emily and Liz put that in the movie, and it was so funny because it was one of the first days we shot, and we got there to the set, and there's this poor prop person with like all these vibrators and with like little party hats on them and all this stuff, and she's got them laid out, and she's, you know, indexing, and she's like, you want to go over all the different, I'm like, because at SNL we used to have times where you'd write the most ridiculous thing, like a, you know, a Dyson toilet or something just ridiculous. And then
which
you'd
is an
be
actual
there.
Sketch.
It is. And then you just sit there, you know, like with the prop people having a very serious conversation about, now when you flush it, I want the, you know, the prosthetic butt to go down. Like it was such classy world of comedy, and
so
I've remained there in that spot. Sweet spot, my sweet spot.
That's what you've brought. And then after you pass out the after Dilda Claus passes out, then it's Dilda Clock.
Dilda right? Dilda Clock.
Right.
Oh my God, I gotta use that.
Right?
On the next Wine Country Netflix.
Right? Instead of Happy Hour.
Can you hear us?
It's Dilda Clock.
I gotta say Dilda Clock.
Thank you.
I will definitely credit you.
Oh, thank you.
Every time.
You'll
get 17 cents every year.
I don't want you to use it unless I'm going to get the proper attribution, because I want that to be on my Wikipedia page.
You'll get a giant clearinghouse check, but it's only 17 cents. It's a true residual. Sometimes at SNL, you get a residual for like 32 cents for something that you did back in the day when you didn't have any gray hair.
Back in the day. So, speaking of back in the day,
yes.
You've described this, I'm going to keep it classy, as a project propelled by the Vagina Mafia, I believe.
Oh, the Vaginal Mafia,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I want to get it right. The Vaginal Mafia.
Yes.
Which is different from, I would imagine, almost anything else, even though you've worked on very female-driven project like Sisters.
Yeah.
And you are the person who is often called in to punch up scripts and make the women human, mm-hmm. I guess, is part of the task,
yeah.
Right? But how? Like, what is it like coming into an environment with all of these women you know, you respect, you've worked with, you've collaborated with, as opposed to some of the other things you've done, including SNL?
Yeah, I mean, it was really effortless. It was a lot of work, because shooting a movie is a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of very long days, and you know, but compared to most other jobs on the earth, is, you know, one of the most we're so grateful for having these jobs. But when you work with people that know your language, it's just everyone knows each other. So a lot of my friends that I loved when people commented after seeing screenings of it that knew me and knew my friends at SNL, and they would say, you're laughing at each other like you laugh at each other.
Aww.
Because when you're an actor and you're laughing in a thing, it's fake. Everything is so fake, unless an actor is really amused by another actor in a movie and they're really kind of, you can tell they're really laughing. But you can tell when people are, you know, when I did This Is 40, Judd and Leslie's real kids played the kids. And, excuse me. And it was so funny because people would go, oh my God, you just can't fake it. Because you can't fake that level of the language. You just know exactly what each other, you know how to talk to each other, but you also talk like you're so enmeshed because you spend all the air, you share all the air in a home together. And that's how we did at 30 Rock. You know, we were just, those offices are like little dorm rooms with stinky couches, and we slept there and were there longer than we were in our tiny apartments back in the day. So we just, and then Emily and Liz just wrote such a perfectly crafted script, but it just felt easy because it was us, you know, it was the approximation of us. There's a lot of things in it that were added for dramatic effect in terms of just it being a movie. Like I think Amy said or I think Anna said, if it was our real self, sometimes it would be not as exciting a movie because we just sit and talk about life. It would be an interesting little indie movie of like a Dinner with Andre type thing, mm-hmm. where we're just really
in
talking for a long time. But so things were heightened. We didn't have storm off fights in the movie. In real life. But it was fun to.
Can you run like that though?
I may have had a stunt double.
Because your character.
Yes.
Has speaking of the phrase that comes up again and again in the film, things we say now,
yes.
which is something that happens in middle age. You
yes,
start talking
a lot.
About, like I said, do you remember that guy? He died.
He died.
Right, that is a thing that I didn't
hear. Oh my
hear.
God, I saw Tom in his coffin.
Right, and suddenly you are wearing the sleep apnea mask,
yes.
and
oh,
your
yes.
character has a brand new knee. But
yeah,
she's,
well, two knees.
Two knees.
And
she rocks them.
Emily wrote that because I got double knee replacements. And when I went on one of the trips, I did not have the knees yet. So I could not walk, I could maybe walk a block. So when we would go do stuff, it always had to be like, I'd get in a cab, meet them where we're going. Cause they just wanted to go, you know, or they'd ask me like, what are your limitations on this? We don't wanna do an activity if you can't do it or whatever. And then the second time was after I got my knee replacements.
And then you were like, I just want to do squats all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, every day. But it was pretty early on when I did the second trip. So we had this wonderful moment in the real trip where Tina said something, and I can't remember exactly what it was right at this moment, but she said something to me that was like a little hilarious jab that was truly hilarious. And I turned to her and I went, oh, I'm going to fucking... oh, you better run. And she ran. She said it and she knew I was going to chase her. And I realized after I chased her that I had not run since I got my knees. And we all cried. Like Amy did a toast at dinner and she was like, I just want to say Paula ran and chased her down. And we all were like, because
it's so beautiful.
I was so afraid to run. I was so afraid to even jog or anything after those knee replacements for many months. And I couldn't anyway for a long time. But when you finally start getting strength and they settle in, it was just like, holy shit, I chased her all the way down the street. It was really cute.
That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
in
it was
friendship.
Really beautiful.
When you can actually chase down your friends
yeah.
after they've jabbed you a little bit.
And even the, you know, trying to get my mojo back as Val in the movie, I spent 4 years after my first marriage of 17 years with my first wife. 4 years of really sad, like post-divorce, like loneliness, and being an older woman. I lived in LA. I moved to LA, and being an older gay woman in LA, and so they really wrote Val with a sweetness of I'm ready to have love. I'm ready to open myself up, you know, whether it works out or not, I'm going to be courageous. And
I think every character in the film has this really lovely, beautiful, authentic arc.
Yes.
And your character, and people have been talking about it. It's like every review I read, they really single out your character's plot, her story.
Yeah.
Because
well,
it is, I think also it's a familiar one to a lot of us. It's
and,
like, how
and
do I start
familiar, and what I love about it is it is so familiar and isn't a gay story. You know, it's so nice in this movie to just, we're at the restaurant, I see this server, and I'm like, did you hear she said girlfriend? And you don't even call it, it's not, you know, because so much of any kind of writing with gay characters usually was, and sometimes is still, of like, here's the gay character, here's the other, we'll tell their story, which is about gay love, or gay divorce, or gay, and it's just like, yeah, no, it's a woman that was with the same person for many, many years, and now isn't, and is lonely and looking to the future and thinking they're going to be the old maid that, you know, is a good aunt, and that's about it, and doesn't have, just keeps adopting more dogs and cats. Which I still do now, and I'm engaged to a wonderful person. But
congratulations!
Thank you. I still keep adopting dogs.
But you
and
still got to get those dogs and cats. So I want to ask you about this because this is a story that is about women finding themselves in this place in life where the world is not always particularly nice to you, and it is hard for a variety of reasons. And we see these characters going through it with their careers, with their marriages, with their health, stuff that you've never dealt with before. In your life.
Just your mortality, you know.
Your mortality,
First time you have a person your age die of something that isn't like getting hit by a bus, where you just go, oh, yeah, that happens. When I was young, I remember people dying when they
were 50.
People's
dads,
you know? Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I'm that age? Oh, that could happen.
But you know? The other side of that is you have said that you're a person who feels like you were born at 50.
Yes.
And now you're coming into this time in your life where we are having what someone on Twitter described as the Paula Pelisson.
That is the cutest thing
which
I've
I love.
Seen.
And believe me, of all of the words to describe this era in which we are living, I am clinging to, I'm going to remember it as the Paula Pelisson. That's
There's
what
I. There's got to be something in the history books that's positive.
I want to write the
of
book
this era.
About the Paula Pelisson and just
God.
Ignore everything else. It does feel like this is a different moment in your career. You are stepping up and doing more acting roles. You are really coming out from behind the your laptop and doing more of this kind of work. How is that? What is it? Did you make a conscious decision? Now I want to be performing more.
You know, I didn't. I was always an actor when I was young, and then I was, you know, always doing theater. Got my degree in theater. I wanted. Do this as a living, you know, started to after college being like a young actor and got some good sort of mid-range jobs money-wise in terms of just being able to survive. Like I went back to Orlando and performed at Disney and the theme parks and sang at night and did a lot of fun things there and did commercials and, you know, I was just hustling. I was a young, excited, like I'm an actor. And then when I got the SNL job, through being in this pilot, and you know, I got there and was just realized how many people they hire that have an acting background because we're so enmeshed there. We actors and writers write together in just a wad. You know, you're in either yourself or two of you or three of you are sitting in an office writing something, and maybe one or two of you are actors and one is a writer, and there's no boundaries of what's what. There's not like a writer sitting there and the actors waiting for the script to arrive. It's everyone's doing it together. So when I got there, they basically said, you have to put that hat away. You're not, you know, not to me, but just to all of us that were actors. Like this is not a time to sort of secretly take over and all about Eve it and come in and just like, you know, take over the acting part of it. There's a full cast. We're all starting new. Just do, you know, bloom where you're planted sort of thing. And I was such a good kid and like wanted to always just achieve where I've been put and didn't have that part of me ever, that agency of like going, you know, yeah, well, fuck them. I'm going to be on camera. I had no desire even to do that because I was so in awe that I got to be there and that I got to do a job and that I was going to learn how to write for other people because I'd always written just for myself or writing just little short stories or different things. So I really put it away, but it was always a part of me. But then years later, you know, they would put me in the monologues to have like one line or something. And you'd be so nervous because it's live TV, you have one line. And I'm like, okay, I haven't acted in this many years. Now I have one line. There's 5 million people watching, including my family at home. and it's live, and you're screwed if you screw it up. And I would sometimes stumble on something and then just for the entire rest of the weekend just be devastated, because it's just like, oh God, you can't even do it anymore. You've lost your ability to do that felt so normal to you, so natural to you. I used to never have trouble with lines, anything. And I went through this period in the middle there where it had been so many years that anytime I got hired to even do a little bit, I would get so nervous. And then I started doing bigger things, and it was all with my friends, and I just got older. You just get older and you start going, don't put yourself through that. Just enjoy it. Be in the moment and go, oh my God, I get to hang with all my friends today and get paid to do something ridiculous and funny.
Yeah, I think the older you get, you just kind of run out. You just stop giving a damn.
Oh my God. My mom's 81, and she's here for the premiere and all that, and she's so hilariously unfiltered now. I mean, both my parents are, but it's just so funny how unfiltered she is now, where she'll go, oh, that was terrible. She'll just say something now that, you know, she doesn't care. And she's completely kind, wonderful person. But if she has an opinion about something, it's cold in here. You know, just something that I used to just talk around until I never even got to the point, because I was so afraid of offending or, you know, burdening. Or now I'm like, it's cold in here,
yeah. Right? Okay, before we go, I want to ask you about that, because your mom has also been a big inspiration, yeah, in some of the characters that you've created.
Yeah, my mom and dad both, in Sisters, I wrote them as my parents, you know, James Brolin and, help me out, James Brolin and Diane Weist. Jesus.
Oh my God.
I know her name, but I just said Diane. So James Brolin and
Things That Happen. Things,
yes,
we say
things
now.
Yes, Things We Say Now. I don't even know my own name. But Diane and James were my parents. So I had little homages in that of my dad, like showing where he got his watch at the flea market, because he renovates watches and clocks. And, you know, my mom looking at doing FaceTime with me, where you just see this, you just see the top of her crown of her head. And they're both hilarious people in real life. Like, all my friends, just I'll send them a video of them just talking in the front seat on the way to a estate sale, and it's just solid comedy.
So it seems like it's genetic, Paula. Paula, I'm so happy to get to talk to you and find that you are as actually delightful and hilarious as everything I've ever read that you wrote or created. The movie is called Wine Country.
Thank you. Thanks for
having
me.
It is so funny. It is so sweet.
I'm so glad you liked it.
Really, really a delight.
We love it.
We love it too.
We hope everyone else does too.
Thanks, Paula.
Thank you so much.